Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Today we're going to continue our series entitled Whiteboard with a subtitle of Truth for Today. Now, if you remember, I keep reiterating this, but the hope of a whiteboard is that whatever we write on the whiteboard eventually is going to be translated into the real world. If it just stays on the whiteboard, it's not going to do any good. And so we've been looking at some topics that I believe as Christians, as followers of Jesus, that we've got an intellectual understanding, but we struggle with saying, well, why do I do that? So why do I believe the things I believe? Why do I do the things I do? You know, are we just following the masses? Are we just doing this because this is what we're supposed to do? But I want to take a pause each week and to say, well, let's unpack. Why are we doing these things? Why do we believe these things? And so we've been doing it. And I've been talking about, you know, a coach that writes something on the whiteboard. The hope is that it would translate from the whiteboard to the playing field. And, you know, I think my Buckeyes had a struggle with that. And I do appreciate the love. Some of you that have just lovingly told me about that, I sure do appreciate all of that jabs. It's great, and I'll take that all day. But I'm not going to write a football strategy on here because obviously I don't know what I'm talking about, and neither do my Buckeyes. But the hope is that we've been taking these things up here and saying, what does it mean in 2017 today? What does it look like? And so last week, we dug into baptism. Water baptism, what it means to be dunked under the water, to die to self, to be raised up to walk in newness of life. And for those of us that haven't been baptized that follow Jesus, that we should be, but those of us that have been baptized, what that means to us today, that it wasn't just a one-time thing. There's this realization of what happened and living in that. And today we're going to talk about something that every one of us can relate to, every single one of us. You don't get that always, but this is going to be one. Everyone, and honestly, all of you could probably get your toes stepped on, and me included today. So I'm just going to give you the heads up on that. Today we're going to talk about the fun topic of giving. Not giving Derek a hard time about the Buckeyes, like you guys do that really well, but giving financially. Why do we do that? Like, why in the world do we give tithes and offering? Why do we do that? Why? What is the purpose behind it? Like, I think we should know these things and not just go through the motion. We should ask, what is the purpose behind it? And so today, we're going to dig into this, and there's three things I want us to look at today. I want to look at the power of giving. I want to look at what is the premise? How are we supposed to give? And then the third thing I want to look at is what is the purpose? And so if you're a guest here, listen, we don't talk about money every week, just the one you came to, which is great. but the reality is whether you're a guest or whether you're considering the faith and you're not even would consider yourself a Christian or whether you've been in this church longer than I've been born, today my hope is that you would have a greater understanding for this word give, giving, and that we would leave here having a better understanding of why we give. That's my prayer. That's my hope for today as we dig into the scripture. So, you know, I thought, you know, what's the best place to start when we're talking about this, you know, one subject that most people are already kind of getting their purse a little closer to their side, say, Derek's talking about my money. Like, what does that look like? Well, I want us to open up to Matthew chapter 6, and I thought we would just go straight for the words of Jesus and what he said about this topic, because he talked about money a lot. He would not have been shy. If he was your pastor, he would not have been shy about talking about money, right? Because he recognized the power of money. And so he talked about it in his parables and his stories a lot. And so in chapter 6 of Matthew, we find Jesus in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. And if you remember back a few months ago, the series we did called Red, we looked at that sermon series, right? And we said, what can we learn about this amazing message that Jesus gave? And that message was really painting a picture of what this kingdom of God was to look like and what it looked like to follow Jesus. That's what Jesus is laying out in the sermon that he gave. And in chapter 6, he begins by talking about giving to those in need, and then he goes on to talk about this is what it looks like to pray, and then he talks about fasting a little bit, and then we get to verse 19, and Jesus starts just laying out some amazing principles and some amazing truth that I believe we can learn from today. So looking at chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus is speaking. He says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and there where thieves do not break in and steal. And then this is the one I want you to underline in your Bible, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The treasure, you know, we can try to spiritualize this all we want, but just a few little verses later, Jesus clarifies what this treasure is. He literally says, you cannot serve God in money. Like, literally, he's like, hey, let me throw it down. If you were questioning what treasure is, here's what it is. It's your money. It's your finances. It's how you have resources to do what you do. And so Jesus has this amazing line that is essential for us to understand if we're going to understand this giving. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is a truth that we all know. Everyone is in this time of season, you know, all of us know this, that are playing fantasy football. Any fantasy football guys? Go ahead, raise up your hand. You're so excited for today. God bless you. It's so good. And listen, if you had to put in money as a kind of buy into that fantasy football team, guess who you're going to be watching today when the NFL is playing? You're going to be watching those guys that are on your team. And why are you going to be watching those guys that are on your team? Not because you like their team. You probably hate their team. Why are you watching them? Because your money is there, and where your treasure is, your heart is. See, you guys are laughing because it's true. You didn't give a flip about that guy that played for the Eagles before. But now that he plays for the Eagle and he's on their team and you put some money in it, you want him to score a touchdown every time he touches the ball because your heart follows your treasure, right? Now in the stock market, you know, if you're in the stock market and you're in the 401k, and you know, if you never owned a stock in Apple ever, like, you don't care, you're an Android person, so you don't have a stock in Apple, and so you don't give a flip about Apple, right? Like, you could care less. Like, when you wake up and you go throughout your day and you get to the end of the day and say, how did the Dow Jones do today? You're not going to look at Apple because you don't own anything, right? Because your treasure's not there. But I guarantee this. If somebody gave you 1,000 shares of Apple, I guarantee you would start monitoring how that stock is doing. And why? Because your heart follows your treasure. That's just the truth. This is the truth that Jesus lays down. Wherever your treasure is, there's your heart's going to be. Now, if you have college-age kids, this is true for you, and you know that. And, you know, I was going to use an OSU analogy, but after they lost, I thought, well, I'd just go straight for the orange. And so, you know, this bumper sticker, it says, you know, my kid and my money go to UT. You talk about treasure. If you're a parent, one of your greatest treasures is your kids. And guess what? Another treasure is, if you're a parent with college-age kids, and you know this, it's your money, because it's going out fast, right? And so where is your heart? It's where your treasure is going, right? Now, I have a confession to make. The first game against Georgia Tech, I was bold enough, and I was honest. I wore a UT shirt the first half. It was amazing. It was awesome. Yeah. And then I took a shower, and I went back to my Buckeyes. And guess what happened? Rocky Top won. So guess what's going to happen? I'm never going to wear another UT shirt ever again because I love you guys. But listen, we understand this fact. Wherever our treasure is, there our heart will go also. And so when we give, guess what? We are directing our treasure. And so the first thing I want you to write in your notes is that our giving, it redirects our heart. This is crucial for us to understand the power of giving. When we give, we are literally changing the trajectory, changing the course of where our heart is going. So wherever I give, I can rest assured my heart is going to follow that. That's the power of giving. And so when you give to the things that God cares about, guess what you're doing? You're reorienting your heart. You're aligning your heart with God. You're redirecting your heart. And where your treasure is, where you're sowing in, your heart is going to follow. That's just truth that we all know. And this is what Jesus is telling us, that our giving has the power to redirect our heart. Now, this is the other powerful thing about giving. I believe that most of you are like me. You're jacked up. Like, it's just true. You're jacked up. You're a sinner. You're selfish. You're greedy. You like to protect yourself. You like to have what you want to have when you want to have it. And that's how I am, right? When left apart from Jesus, that's where I go every time, and I think every one of you would agree with that. Here's the power of giving. Here's the power. If that's our natural bent, to go towards self-protection, to go towards self-preservation, to lift up, promote Derek, and to get what I want, the thing that giving does, it actively resists that desire. It actually is a battle cry. It's a weapon in the warfare against our flesh. When I give, I'm actually undermining that natural bent for myself to be all about Derek. And there's power in that. It redirects our heart when we give. And for years, you know, my wife and I Kate, we dated a short time, and we married in college after my sophomore year. We just didn't know what we were doing, and so we just got married, and then a year and a half later, we found out we had a kid coming, and we were like, that's amazing, but we have no money. We have no treasure at all, so what are we doing? And so I graduated as a mechanical engineer, and we moved to Kansas City, Missouri, and my wife has just been such a key, consistent follower of Jesus, even when I wasn't. In college, she was the one that went to church on Sunday. I was the one that had the lame excuse that said, hey, I'm playing football, I need some sleep, and I would just sleep in on Sundays, but she would go, she would be consistent. We moved to Kansas City, Missouri. She was pushing me there. We need to find a church, and we'd go a few, but none of them felt right, and so we just never got plugged in, and so we never had any community for that first year out of college, and then we moved back to Ohio, and a few months, she's saying, hey, we need to find a church, we need to find a church, and somebody invited us to a church, and we went, and we actually kind of liked it. It's kind of weird, right? I kind of like church. That's kind of, you know, whatever that is. And so we went back, and we started saying, man, this is where we want to be. But we never really got connected. You know, I was a mechanical engineer, so honestly, I made pretty good money, but my giving, the way I was putting my treasures was, you know, I got a $20 bill. Like, I'm going to just throw that in there. Here's two pieces of lint, Pastor, like, you can have that this week, and here's $100. Like, if I was feeling really froggy, I'd give $100. And man, I was like, ooh, man, I don't know about that. But guess where my heart was not? It wasn't in my church. Because my treasure was not in my local church. And so I was given a book. It's a great book, a challenging book. It's called The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. And I read this book, and it totally rocked my world when it came to giving and what it looked like to follow Jesus. And so I took that, and we made some changes in our life. We said, no, hey, we're going to prioritize this because we want our heart to be where God's heart is, and we want to align with him. And so we began to give to our local church. We began to pour into our local church, and this is what happened. We actually began to get connected and plugged in to our church, because our heart was now following our treasure, and our treasure was there. And so our community there, like I said, I began to preach to these poor fourth, fifth, and sixth graders kids. You know, I don't know what happened to them, but. And then I began to start, we led a small group, just been there, done that. And then I was asked to start a men's ministry, and then for some crazy reason, the dude let me up on the stage to preach. I still haven't figured that one out. But I can go back to, our heart was never in the church, never in community, until we started giving. Because of this truth, our heart follows our giving. And so the question for us today is, where is your heart being directed? Where is it going? Where is your heart going? And I can tell you where it's going. It's going wherever your treasure is. That's the case we see. And so if we want to redirect our heart, we do it by giving, and it's going to follow. The second thing I want us to look at is actually all the way at the beginning of your Bible. So if you have your Bible, flip to the beginning, Genesis chapter 4. And so the first thing we learned was that giving is powerful because it redirects our heart. But in chapter 4 of Genesis, we're going to learn what kind of giving does God want from us. Because how many of you know, not all giving is created equal. And I'm not even talking about amount of money. I'm saying you can have person A and person B. They both give the exact same amount to the church, and yet it's viewed differently by God. And many of us don't realize that. And so today, I just want to show you what kind of giving God actually desires from us. And so we're in Genesis chapter 4 and Genesis chapter 3. You know, the snake came and deceived, you know, Eve, that darn woman. She, you know, and I'm just joking. Y'all can lighten up a little bit. And then the guy followed her. He wasn't protecting her. So he followed her, and they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, right? Because they disobeyed. They chose to follow their own way. They didn't trust God. And so they're kicked out. And in chapter 4, Eve has had some kids already, two specifically, Cain and Abel. And we're going to pick up in chapter 4, I believe, in verse 2. And again, she, being Eve, bore his brother. So Cain's brother, Abel. So she's got two kids, Cain and Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portion. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. Now, this is such an interesting passage of scripture. We've got two men, two sons of Adam and Eve, the original humans. They're there and they're giving, they're doing this right here specifically to God, which is so interesting. One of them is giving vegetables and one of them is giving an animal. And what God says is, I'm gonna just look at Abel's and I'm gonna receive that, but I'm not gonna receive Cain's. Now, why is that? It's because God is a carnivore? I think he is, but that's not why. Is it because he doesn't like greens, like my kids don't like greens on their plate? No, because a little bit later, when you get into the law, guess what he prescribes? He says, bring your offering of the grain harvest, right? So it's not anti-vegetables. It's not that he doesn't like greens. But why did he receive Abel's and not Cain? We need to understand this today, because this will shape how we give. I want us to draw our attention specifically to verse 3 and 4. And if you have your Bible, I just want you to underline these two segments. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord out of the fruit of the ground. But then in verse 4, a very specific difference. It says that Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. Now why did he take Abel's and not Cain? Now, here's the truth that we need to hear today. Is that line, in the course of time, this is insinuating that Cain, he planted a field like any farmer would do. If you're a farmer, you would plant a field. And as the harvest came in, what Cain was realizing, he was looking at how much am I gonna get from the produce of this. And once he realized the harvest, the amount of harvest, then he took out of that knowing, out of the abundance, he then took that and he brought that to the Lord. You see, it was out of his abundance. He knew what he was given and what he was gonna keep. But Abel gave his firstborn. Now, if you know anything about animals, there's no guarantees they're gonna have more babies. See, when Abel, he says, I've got this animal, this baby, and I don't have another one, but I'm gonna give this to God. What did Abel's gift require? Faith, right? Faith, trust. This is the difference between what God receives as we give and what he doesn't receive, is does it require faith? Now, in your notes, I put in there just for time's sake, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it's talking about this very same thing. And so here's the beauty of the scripture. It actually gives us why. It is faith. And he says this in chapter 11, verse 4. It says, by faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his faith, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. And so what the scripture writer says in Hebrews is the reason why Abel's offering was received is because it was given by faith. The second thing I want you to fill in there is that giving is an expression of our faith. Giving is an expression of our faith, but not just any giving. It's giving that aligns with God's way of giving, right? Now we've got to unpack this a little bit. If God wants me to give as an expression of my faith, does that mean the amount is what's most important, or the fact that I gave it in faith? Which one's more important? Because here's the challenge, and honestly, I struggle with this sometimes, and I guarantee all of us struggle. You know, if you write a big check to Christ Fellowship and it's got some zeros on it and some zeros on it, like, I love that you do that, but there's a chance that's not a gift that's acceptable to God, no matter how many zeros are behind it. If it's not done as an expression of your faith, as much as you give, $100,000, $200,000, $10,000, $5,000, $1,000, whatever it is, if it's not done in faith, it's not going to be an acceptable gift to God. Yet the good thing about this, if I give a dollar, but I give that in faith, that's a beautiful expression of faith that's received by God. That's a beautiful thing. And that's why in Hebrews 11, verse 6, just a little bit later, the writer continues and says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's a bold statement. It's impossible to please God if you don't have faith. Now we got to ask the question. You know, why? What is this about this faith thing? What is this? Well, here's what. When I give out of faith, when I'm expressing my faith, guess what it's going to cause me to do? It's going to cause me to depend upon God. I've got to trust him. I give my first, but then I'm going to trust him with the rest. That's what giving does. And as I grow in dependence upon God, guess what happens? Guaranteed. Your love and your intimacy and the depth of relationship with God, it increases. See, if you want to grow in your relationship with God, you should ask the question, what is your giving expressing about your faith? Because God's heart for you is relationship. That's what he says, ask for your daily bread, not your monthly bread. I don't like to pray that way. But why? That keeps me coming back to God, which is what he wants in the first place. Relationship, intimacy, depth of relationship. Giving expresses our faith. That faith shows dependence upon God. That dependence upon God leads us to intimate relationship with God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That includes our giving. And so I would have you ask the question, what does your giving express about your faith? Does your giving express any faith at all, or is it just done out of your excess? And you can look at Cain and Abel and ask the question, well, is this an acceptable gift to God or not? And that's not for me to decide, that's for you to decide. But does your giving require faith at all? Does it require God to be God? And then I want to look at one more thing today, this morning, as we dig into this whole faith. So we looked at the power of giving. We've looked at, you know, how has God called us to give by faith. And the last thing I want to look at is, what is the purpose of giving? If you have your Bible, flip open to Romans chapter 12. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Rome. Tons of theological meat here to dig into. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says something very profound. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Present yourself, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. And so what Paul is telling us is good news. That means what we do, what we spend, how we use our resources, how we speak, how we interact with our neighbors, those are opportunities to express our worship to God. This is beautiful. That means everything I do has opportunity to worship. Now I think the question we have to ask is, what in the heck is worship? In a couple weeks, we're going to go deep dive, but here's our working definition of worship today. Worship is our response to God. I was listening to a podcast by this doctor, theologian dude this week, and he said that our worship is responding to God with all we are for all he is. So worship may mean I raise my hands and I sing. That's a beautiful expression. That's very biblical to worship, but it also means that I obey him. The greatest act of worship is obedience, and I do that because what? Because of who he is. But another great act of obedience that really is worship is how I give. And so the last thing I want you to write in your notes is that giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. You see, sometimes I think we buy into this lie about our giving. Now, at Christ Fellowship, you know, if you're new here, you'll recognize we don't pass the bowls or plates or, you know, whatever. We don't, you know, have an ATM machine up here necessarily, but we offer opportunities to give outside of this room, to give online, all that good stuff. We do that. And I love that because it takes the pressure off of, you know, a guest coming into a church and feeling pressure to give. But here is the downside of that, is that when we don't give corporately, we can lose sight of the beautiful picture of what it is to give to God through his church. It's an act of worship. And so here's my challenge for you. If you give online, it's so easy just to click, 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 type a few numbers in and click. I want to challenge you. What if you viewed that as worship instead of just a routine? Or if you give ongoing like my family does and it's just automatically doing it, it's so easy just to routinely see that as just something that goes out the door and I never think twice about it. But here's what I want to challenge you. I want you to see your giving as an act of worship. It's a response to God. And here's what I want to make sure we know, that we don't give to get, right? This is not a country club. If this is your idea of a country club, like, you have a lame idea of a country club, by the way. Like, there are much better country clubs around town that you could be part of. This is not a country club. So you don't join our country club by giving. That's not what we do here at Christ Fellowship. You don't give your money to get FaceTime with me. You don't need to. You can just email the church and you can ask, hey, can I get coffee with Derek? And if I have time, I'll sit down with you. But the givers in our church, they don't necessarily get more FaceTime with the pastor. That's not how we operate. We don't give to get a specific seat. Like, you guys, like your front row, you didn't pay more money, did you, to be here? No, you didn't. You better not, or that we have a problem. But Like, that's not what we have. But I think, honestly, I think sometimes we slip into this. I give because I like kind of what's going on, or I want my kids to have good ministry. But here's the thing. We don't give to get. We give because we've been given everything. We don't give to get. We give because we've been given everything. Now, just think about that. That is responding. Because Christ, he came and lived among us. He gave up everything in heaven to be among us. He gave up his power and authority and came into bodily form to confine himself to a body and live on this earth for 33 and a half years. And then he died on a cross. He gave his life. 3 days later, he was raised up from the dead in order to have victory over sin and death, which what does that do? It gives us the opportunity to experience life with God, both today and forever. See, we've been given so much. And so what is our response? What is our worship? It's to give out a response, not because I have to, not because I want to get. It's because I've been given everything. I've been given my job. I've been given my breath that I breathe. And so when I give, it's an act of worship because I am just responding to God in thanksgiving, in gratitude. So I want you, and I want to challenge you this week to think about the three things that I talked about, that giving is powerful because it redirects your heart. And this week, you can see in your handout there that the question here about that one is, what are your finances? Where are they directing your heart? Just literally this week, I would challenge you, just pull out your bank account and see where all your money's going. It's a great thing to do if you don't do that regularly. And I guarantee, and it's not all bad, that your heart is going to be where your money goes. That's just true. But how much of that is aligned with God's heart? Is there any giving that's going to align with God's heart? The second thing I want you to think about is that we're called to give by faith. We're called to give by faith. And so does your giving, does it express your faith? Or is it just coming out of your excess? And the third thing is, what if you viewed your giving online, the app, if you're writing an envelope, what if we took a pause before we did that and we gave thanks to God for the opportunity to give back such a little thing in comparison to what he's given us? Not to earn grace, not to earn favor, because we've already been given all that as sons and daughters of the King. There's no getting it back. You can't pay God back. But worship is a response to who he is and what he's done. So I would invite you to do that this week as you consider giving and the power of it. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you that you're not a God who manipulates. You're not a God who tries to use smoke and mirrors. Lord, we don't want to be that kind of church either. We want to be completely authentic and real and open. We want to be good stewards. But Lord, we want to be a people that look more and more like you. And Jesus, you gave your life. You gave it all. And as your disciples, we want to be givers. Givers of our time, givers of our talents, givers of our finances. And so Lord, I thank you that you've given us the opportunity to do that, to align ourselves with you. And I pray that our church would be a generous church. Not just in these walls, but outside of these walls as well. Jesus, you be glorified. Stir our faith. May we align with you this week. It's in your name we pray. Amen.